Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation will continue this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 349, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, within thy gates, thou city grand and fair. 349, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Scripture for this evening can be found in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, and we'll read chapter 1, the entire chapter. First, we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to especially remember tonight in prayer Mina Broomsma, a teacher at Rehoboth Christian School. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence among us tonight. Let us pray. Merciful, gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thee in whom we live and move and have our being, and without thee we cannot take one breath. We are completely dependent upon thee for life, physical life, but also for spiritual life. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone, the one, that almighty covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah, who can save and will save thy beloved chosen people. And may we and our children be included in that blessed people who have a blessed future to be forever with thee in sweet communion, to be able to serve thee perfectly, righteously, forever, free from all sin, from that wretchedness, and to live in thy presence in joy, that thou would joy in them and they would joy in thee. O Lord, wilt thou give them that our hearts may be hungry and thirsty after righteousness, after thee, he who is the Lord, our righteousness. We beg and ask thee, Lord, to remember those who do not have any hunger, any thirst for God, for righteousness, or for that only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight that thou would awaken them, show them who they are, show them who thou art, and teach them of that only way of salvation, and that they may go home, that they may bow their knees as wretched sinners, and begging thee for grace, that they need thee to work in them, to renew them, to help them, to lead them, and to guide them. But remember also, Lord, all thy dear people. They are pictured in thy word as sheep, and that is because we are so foolish. We need instruction. We need thy keeping, guiding, and protecting hand every day. Remember those who may have gone astray. Bring them back. Seek them as that good shepherd, and bring them back into that fold. Lord, thou knowest thy word is profitable for all things, for instruction, for reproof where it is needed, for also for comfort and admonishment. Lord, thou knowest the hearts of each one here and all who are listening along. Give a blessing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And especially, Lord, tonight when we are called to listen and to preach, to lift up that only mediator. Oh, we beg then, Lord, give the unction to preach and give a blessing upon hearing by the power of the Holy Spirit. May there be poor and needy sinners tonight who have gathered, who long to hear of that mediator for lost, bankrupt, unrighteous sinners. Oh, we beg thee that through the preaching of the word that faith may be worked in the hearts, but also when he may be lifted up, that faith may be an exercise, that poor and needy sinners may be given to look outside of self unto him. Him who God has made unto us, as we read in thy word, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Oh, show us, Lord, that in him is everything that miserable, wretched sinners need. Show us the fullness, and may we have a little taste of the riches of thy grace that is through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May there be a little food for the poor and needy, a little water for thirsty souls, Lord. And so we beg thee, come among us, give those blessings that thou alone can give. It's no hope in men, but our hope, and may it be our expectation, is in thee, that Almighty God, who said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, may we together then as a congregation open our mouths wide unto thee, and that thou would fill it. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, may thy kingdom come through the world, but also in this congregation, that boys and girls may be born again, that teenagers may be made alive, that adults, older ones, that they may be drawn unto thee by thy grace. Lord, turn them, and they shall be turned. Draw them, and they shall flee unto thee. Lord, we ask thee tonight especially to remember the teacher at Rehoboth Christian School. Thou knowest her cares for her body. Oh, remember her and her family. Look upon her in mercy, Lord, and remember especially the needs of her soul. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, prepare her for that time that she must leave this world and stand before thee. Lord, we ask thee that she may have that free and sovereign grace in her heart, and that she may be made ready by thy grace to meet thee in peace through the Prince of Peace. Lord, wilt thou teach us and show us that we are living in this world, and that we must leave this world, and that our life is a time not to enjoy the pleasures of this world, but that it is a time to be prepared to meet our Maker, against whom we have sinned. O Lord, what wonders of thy grace! We have left thee never to return, but thou art seeking, thou art saving, thou art calling unto the sons of men to turn, to repent. Thou art proclaiming unto them not only death in Adam, but the wonders of the grace through thy Son, through the gospel of life in Christ. Bless it richly, Lord. We pray and ask thee then to remember us as a congregation, all the cares and needs of each one, as in our marriages, Lord, give love and faithfulness to one another, and that we may be helpmeets not only for this life, but that we may be helpmeets to each other for the life to come. Remember all those who are single, care for them, the older ones, the lonely ones, those who are experiencing different cares and concerns in their bodies and in their minds. Lord, help in all these needs and cares. Remember those who have left the truth. They've been baptized. They have thy name, the name of the triune God, on their forehead, and they have gone to live in the world. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bring them back. Work mightily the word that they have heard in the past. Bring it into their mind, and that they may be pricked, that they may be awakened, and that they may be drawn back to thee and to thy truth. We pray and beg thee to remember the persecuted church. We have such a privilege, Lord, to freely gather without fear for our lives. But there are many upon this earth known unto thee, thy dear people, who suffer because of that precious name, Jesus Christ. Lord, uphold them, strengthen them, be near to them. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember also all the teachers at Rehoboth Christian School. Bless the education there. Bless the education in our homes. And that our children may hear of the wonderful works of God, that they may set their hope in God. Lord, richly bless it, that there may be many of the young people who have thy grace, whose hearts are captured by thy irresistible grace, and who have a longing, a hungering, and a thirsting after righteousness to live right for God, and who need a Savior for their soul. Lord, give God-fearing teachers, give God-fearing parents, and that we may instruct and teach our children in the fear of the Lord to the utmost of our ability and power, and that thou would bless the means of grace wherever thy word is proclaimed, in confession of faith class, in the catechism classes, in the Bible studies, at school, at home, but especially also in thy house. Lord, bless law and gospel, and that we may be led to that only Savior by thy grace. We pray and beg thee, Lord, to remember also the needs of this church. Thou hast said that we may bring all our needs unto thee. And Lord, thou knowest the need, the desire for an addition. And if it is in thy will, wilt thou open the way? The hearts of the government and all those officials also here in Cortland are in thy hands. Oh, we beg thee, if it is thy will, that thou would give opening, guide us and lead us, and give us grace and patience to follow thee and to follow thy way. Lord, may we beg thee again the great need in our denomination. There's so many vacant congregations. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in a few months the curatorium will meet again. Oh, wilt thou work in the hearts of men, that they may have thy grace, and that they may be called by thee, and that they must come forward, and that they may be given a test if it is in thy will, and that they may be accepted into the theological school. Lord, we're unworthy, we're sinful, we're polluted, but may we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for the coming generation. Remember the student, help him, Lord. Also when he will have exams in the next couple of months, help him, Lord. Help the instructors, help all thy servants, Lord, throughout this world. May we be faithful to thy word. May we not desire the praise of men, free us from that, from all pride. May we not fear the fear of man, but that we may speak, thus saith the Lord, and that we may be used as sinful instruments in thy hand through the foolishness of preaching, that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Thou art the Almighty God. Thou art the one who can do above all that we think and ask. Give then tonight much prayer, Aaron's and hers, and that tonight may be a blessed time in thy house, with thy presence, with thy favor, that there may be a little food, a little drink for poor needy sinners. Lord, take away all the distractions, all the hindrances, and gather with us, Lord, we beg thee. Look upon us through thy Son. Wash and cleanse us, Lord, of all our many sins. We deserve nothing but a famine of thy word because of our sins. We deserve nothing but that thou would pass us by. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for the name and the honor of thy great name, that thou would gather with us and give blessings from above. We ask this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing then from Psalter 381, all four stanzas. With grateful heart my thanks I bring, before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place and praise thee for thy truth and grace. For truth and grace together shine in thy most holy word divine. 381, all four stanzas in the collections. The first is for the church and the second for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, 2 weeks ago, we heard about the mediator. We heard there was four requirements that this mediator must be. Do you remember those four? He must be man. He must be a righteous man. He must be God. And in one person, he must be God and man. Is there such a mediator? Children, young people, who is that only mediator? It's Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." God seeks and saves sinners. He renews them. He makes them alive. He teaches them who they are. He teaches who he is. And they become lost. And he leads them to the place where there is no other way to be reconciled with God except through one mediator. All other ways are shut off, closed. And they begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They begin to hunger and thirst after that only mediator, Jesus Christ, because they long to be right with God, to be reconciled with God. And that mediator, Jesus Christ, the head of the covenant of grace, he who is that mediator, that surety, that head, he becomes everything for them. And this only mediator, Jesus Christ, is given by God. He's made unto us, as we read in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 verse 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And so tonight, we will consider what we find in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 6, the last two questions and answers in this Lord's Day, question and answer 18 and 19, about the only mediator. Question 18, "Who then is that mediator who is one in one person, both very God and a real righteous man?" The answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question and answer number 19, "Whence knowest thou this?" From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. So tonight, the theme is the only mediator. First, his identity. Who is this only mediator? And we will consider a few things tonight, because one sermon is absolutely insufficient to explain or to proclaim who this mediator is. So a few things. And may the hearing of him, the preaching of the gospel, may it work faith in the hearts of sinners, and may that faith be an exercise that they may be given to look outside of self to that mediator. So first, his identity. Second, his revelation. How can we know this mediator? Well, through the word of God. The only mediator is revealed, Jesus Christ. So the theme, the only mediator, his identity and his revelation. So the first thought. Children, you know the story in John 6, where that man was born blind, and the Lord visited him, healed him, and how later he was excommunicated from the church, kicked out. And then the Lord visited him and asked him a question, a very important question, a question for you and me also. Listen, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" That's a question for you and me tonight also. When we hear about the meter, dost thou, do you, do I believe on the Son of God? How did this man respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, he said, who is he? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? What an essential question, but what also an answer. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Is that your question? Maybe you've heard about him, but you want to truly know him. Who is he? Who is that mediator? I need him. I need to know him that I might truly believe in him. And the mediator is everything that a wretched sinner needs. Let's read question and answer 18 again. Who then is that mediator who is one person, both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In this answer we hear who this mediator is. We hear the name of the mediator. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And he hears what he is made by God for wretched sinners. That he's the wisdom of God. And that he's made righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Please listen prayerfully tonight. And that the Lord would bless the hearing of the gospel, the hearing of the only mediator to your and to my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, three beautiful names to describe the glory of this mediator. How many names do you have? I only have one name. I believe we all only have one name. Our names are to given to us so we can identify. But in the Bible, a name has a very special meaning. And the Lord Jesus Christ has over 280 names and titles in the Bible. Why? Is there another mediator? No, there isn't. But one name is not sufficient to describe who he is. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and every name, every title that is given to him in the Bible explains something of the riches of God's grace through his Son to poor and needy sinners. How can we know this mediator? Confession of faith class students? Catechism class? Adults? How can we know this mediator? What did Reverend Hallenbrook say? What's one of those things? Through his names. We may know this mediator through his names. Let's briefly then consider these three names in the first part of this answer. And may the Lord bless it. And yes, later in Lord's Days 11, 12, and 13, we will consider it more profoundly because there's such riches in those names. Our Lord Jesus Christ. The name Lord, that's his exalted name. It's a name given to one who's exalted. It means possessor. It's one who has power and authority. Our Lord. He was exalted to the highest by God the Father to be the Lord of lords and King of kings. But may I ask you, do you need a Lord, the Lord in your life? Is he Lord in your life? Or are you still Lord in your life? So, the name Lord. What's the next name? Jesus. Children, who gave that name to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did his parents? Did Joseph? Did Mary? Did they select a name for the Son that would be born through Mary, through the Virgin? No. God the Father gave his Son this name. That's precious. Because in the name, it explains who he is. He's not only the Lord, the one who has all might and power to save hopeless, helpless, powerless sinners, but he's also Jesus. Jesus. What does that name mean? It means Jehovah. Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. May I ask you, has this name, I think we can all repeat it, we can all write it down, but has this name become sweet to your soul? For God's people, his name's become sweet. It gives hope. Has the name Jesus become sweet to you, to your perishing soul? And then we think of the name Christ. That's his official name given. It's the Greek name for the Messiah. Christ is the anointed one. He's anointed by the Father to be the prophet, priest, and king. And those poor sinners, they need a prophet, a priest, and a king. They need one to teach them. They need one to make a sacrifice for them. And they need one to guide them, to lead them, and to bring them to that eternal glory. Who is the mediator? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have briefly considered those names, Lord, Jesus, and Christ. But there's one word before that name. Our Heidelberg Catechism says, our Lord Jesus Christ, given by God to be our. Do these authors believe in universal redemption? Our? May I say to the whole congregation, he is your Savior? He is your mediator? No, there's a division. There's a division. Who are they speaking of? They're speaking of God's people. Poor, needy sinners who have faith in that only Savior who was chosen in eternity, sought, saved, regenerated, made alive, and brought by the teaching of the Holy Spirit to that only Savior. Children of God, he is your Savior. He is our Savior, the Church of God. Jesus Christ is the head of the covenant of grace, and he represents who? Adam represented all mankind, and Jesus Christ, the head of the covenant, the mediator, he represents the elect. And who do they learn to be in themselves? Sin, unrighteous. And in the week of preparation, this can be such a struggle in the hearts of poor, wretched sinners that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That little word, that little pronoun, is he my? Is he my Savior? I need him to be my Savior. And that can be such a trial in the hearts of those poor sinners. And they long for him to be their Savior. They need a personal Savior. And they can struggle and wrestle. But may I ask you something? You, wretched sinners, you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, have you seen him as the only Savior, as the only mediator? Some say true saving faith is only to be able to say he is my Savior. Is that true? Is that true? What did the Lord Jesus ask his disciples? Whom do men say that I am? And they answered. And then he said, whom do you say that I am? What was the answer of Peter? Did he say, Lord, thou art my Savior, my Christ? No, he had a public confession of true saving faith. He said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus Christ put his stamp upon that confession as true saving faith. He said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven. One thing they all come to know, they need the mediator. And the mediator becomes necessary. He becomes suitable and he becomes precious for their soul, and they long with assurance in their hearts, in their souls, to be able to say as Thomas at his feet, my Lord and my God. Some of God's children have the assurance of this. Others don't, but they all have true saving faith in the only mediator. They know their own foolishness, and they need Jesus Christ as their wisdom. Is that you? They know their own unrighteousness and they need Jesus Christ, the only mediator, as their righteousness. Is that you? They know their own filthiness and their pollution and they need one to cleanse them. They need Jesus Christ as their sanctification. Is that you? They're in bondage and they need to be freed from sin, Satan, the world. They need redemption in that mediator. Is that you? Congregation, be careful. Be careful. True saving faith is faith in the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a blessing. What an extra blessing. J.C. Ryle says, that brings a little heaven in the heart to be able to say, He's mine. The Puritans wrote books about this, that there may be true saving faith without the assurance. They know the struggles in the hearts of those wretched, poor sinners. And congregation, it's not enough also on the other side to hear about the mediator. It's not enough that you hear tonight there is a mediator. You need to be connected to that mediator by His grace, by faith. And that is why the answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, there needs to be a relationship, there needs to be a connection, there needs to be faith, there needs to be love. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Know is a word in the Bible that has a deep, it's not here, it's here. In Spanish you have two words that differentiate between knowing it here and here, but in English we don't have that differentiation. The word know, it speaks of a bond, of a fellowship, of a relationship. Who's the only mediator? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Precious names or not? Precious Savior, but may I ask you, has He become necessary for you? Has He become suitable for you? Has He become precious to your soul? Have you tasted something of His grace? Have you tasted something of His love? And because of His love, you love Him because He first loved me. As miserable sinners, we have a great need. Is there someone suitable to help us in our exact wretched need according to all the needs of the poor, bankrupt, poor in spirit, wretched sinner? Yes, the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is made unto us of God wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The mediator is an unspeakable gift of God. God gave His only Son. He gave Him to be wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And if the mediator was only wisdom, we would perish. If the mediator was only righteousness or sanctification, we would still perish. But we need Him as the wisdom of God to be our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the fullness of salvation, the gift of God for sinners, miserable sinners who have absolutely nothing. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 8, please. The mediator Jesus Christ is made of God unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And in Proverbs 8, we read about wisdom. Wisdom. Who's wisdom? Wisdom is Jesus Christ. We read in verse 1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And so wisdom calls to every one congregation. Yes, verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Jesus Christ, He who is wisdom, speaks of excellent things to the sons of men. Verse 6, hear, For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Wisdom speaks. What does he want you to hear? Oh, many things. But at the end of that chapter, in verse 35, he has a special message. He who is wisdom, that mediator. For whoso findeth me, findeth life. And then listen. And shall obtain favor with God. Do you need life? Do you long for favor with God? It's through him who's wisdom. It's in that mediator, Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely calls unto the sons of men, unto sinners, about wisdom, to seek him. But do they listen? Do they listen? They hear it with the ear, maybe. But they're so foolish. They don't listen. Why? Because they're totally depraved. They don't see their need. They don't see the beauty in wisdom. Their eyes are closed. He speaks. He calls. They hear his word. But they pay no attention. Such proud rebels. But by the Holy Spirit, renewed sinners have an open ear to hear. They hear. And their minds are enlightened. And their hearts are open to receive that precious word of him whose wisdom. And they need one to teach them. To teach them what? Of that only way back to God, that way of salvation in Jesus Christ. He who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way back to God. And those poor needy sinners don't only need to be saved. They don't be redeemed and to be delivered from hell, from the well-worthy punishment, but they want to be brought back into favor with God. They want to be right with God, reconciled with God. And this mediator, he whose wisdom is the way back to God. And he is wisdom, as Paul said in Colossians 2 verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom and knowledge is in Jesus Christ. What a mediator. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. And all our foolishness, Church of God, and all our ignorance, we may go to one who has all wisdom to teach, to lead, to guide. Are you foolish and you need wisdom? Do you need instruction? Do you need instruction in the only way of salvation? Jesus Christ is wisdom. He came as that prophet to instruct sinners in that way back to God. He reveals through his word that only way for wretched sinners to be reconciled with God. The mediator, Jesus Christ, is wisdom. Wisdom of God. Now let us take a more profound look, especially what we read in question and answer 18, the text. They cite a text from the chapter we have read, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Because in this verse is such profound riches and beauties of that only mediator. What does the pronoun who refer to? Who? Who of God? That refers to the mediator, Jesus Christ. And the pronoun us refers to the true believers, to the church of God. God gave his son everything for those who have nothing. For poor sinners, for his beloved people. But how are we to understand this text, this verse? Some interpret it and say Jesus Christ is made of God four things: wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And others explain this text according to the Greek grammar that Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. And those three following aspects is what explains the wisdom of God. And congregation, I cannot get into the details tonight, but that is the correct explanation. Let me explain. In this Bible, or in this chapter, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 13, wisdom of God is a theme in this chapter. And it's in comparison to the wisdom of the world and to the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of man is nothing but foolishness, and the wisdom of God is infinite wisdom. And these three aspects, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ merited for his people righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And remember, this text is primarily to explain what God gave his Son for the sinners, for his people. And by the merits of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, sinners are made righteous. They become sanctified and they are redeemed. The wisdom of God. God. That infinite wisdom of God that he provided in his Son. All three of those absolute necessity aspects for his people. Yes, Jesus Christ is wisdom. But he's made unto poor and wretched sinners. Those three aspects, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What a plan of salvation of God for completely unworthy, helpless, hopeless, wretched sinners. What wisdom there is in the mediator, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom, who became man. Who became man to come upon this earth to fulfill the law for lawbreakers. What wisdom of God. No man did not think of this. It's not the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of God. Its salvation is of God. All to the glory of God. He gave his Son in his wisdom to come to suffer and to die for wretched sinners. He came to give himself as a sacrifice for sin. Where there was no other sufficient sacrifice to ever satisfy the wrath of God. He gave him in his wisdom to be that payment, to satisfy his justice. He was very man, so he had a body, so he had blood, so his blood could be spilled out, be poured. That the infinite justice of God could be satisfied with an infinite payment of that Emmanuel, God with us, that blood of one who is very man and very God. God the Father, in his wisdom, gave his Son that through his blood, sinners who had nothing to pay could be cleansed, washed, and who could be adopted and to be received as sons and daughters. What wisdom of God! Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And Paul mentions this earlier in the chapter, in 1 Corinthians verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. What infinite wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, in him given and him crucified, in him that made atonement, in him that is the propitiation, in him that poured out everything for those who have nothing to satisfy the wrath of God, that mediator, the head of the covenant of grace. He merited. God in his wisdom thought of a way that sinners who need to be righteous, who need to be sanctified, and who need to be redeemed, all comes through his Son, through his merits. What wisdom! Why does Paul use these three terms to describe the wisdom of God? How is Jesus Christ righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? What are these three aspects of the beauties, of the riches of God's grace in this only mediator, Jesus Christ? As miserable sinners, we must be righteous. As miserable sinners, we must be sanctified. As miserable sinners, we also must be redeemed. And God, in his infinite wisdom, provided, made unto us, made unto his church, Jesus Christ with wisdom to be what? Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This mediator, who is all the fullness of the riches of the grace of God, is given by the very God that we have offended to his very heart. Offended to his very heart. And he would be just to say, away with you all forever. But he gave such a gift. He gave such a mediator. He gave in his infinite wisdom, one, to be righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And Jesus Christ came and he merited all three of these aspects, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Let us consider now these three aspects of those riches, of the grace of this only mediator. The mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, is made unto us righteousness. Well, we heard a lot this morning. What is righteousness? Do you remember? What is it? It's to be right with God, to be perfect, without sin, to live exactly to the law of God, to be in your whole being right, loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to be loving your neighbor, to be holy, pure, perfect, to be righteous in the eyes of God. That's what we must become to enter into the eternal paradise. Nothing unclean will ever enter. Only righteous ones will enter into the presence of a holy God who is too pure to look upon sin. My friend, you must be righteous. But do you know it? Do you feel it? Is there a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that you will be right with God? And is there a hunger and a thirst for a righteousness which is outside of yourself, completely in another? Tonight I may proclaim to you, there is a mediator who has the righteousness that wretched sinners need. We were created righteous. God could look upon man and it reflected his image in paradise. It was exactly a reflection of righteousness. But we rebelled. We forsook God, and now we are born absolute destitute of any righteousness, totally depraved. As Paul wrote in Romans 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Is that you? Have you learned that? Christ, as the prophet, teaches, by the power of his Holy Spirit, sinners are born again. And those who think they were righteous become unrighteous. And those who had no desire for any righteousness are made a need in their heart to be righteous. And they learn also that all their good works, so-called, that they try to move the heart of God to have favor them, are nothing but filthy rags, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 verse 4. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. And proud sinners, self-righteous sinners, need to be stripped. We need to be stripped again and again. Adam tried to cover himself with those fig leaves, but the Lord provided a robe. And sinners need to be stripped of all their fig leaves of self-righteousness, because God has in Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, a robe of righteousness that they need to be clothed with. But who longs for it? Who needs it? And so what a work he needs to do in their hearts. And the righteousness of God is imputed, but it's also a gift. It's a gift. A free and sovereign gift to those who offended him to his very heart with their wickedness and their sin, and who still continue to sin and to sin. Romans 5 verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that speaks about the first Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. My friend, are you unrighteous? You are unrighteous. We're all unrighteous by nature. But have you become unrighteous? Have you become unrighteous in the sight of a holy, righteous God? Do you need righteousness? This morning, was that you? Is that you? And do you ask, how can I be righteous? I may proclaim to you again, by God's grace, by the grace of the gift of faith given, planted in their hearts, that they believe that they are unrighteous, and they hear of his righteousness, and they believe in him, and they are righteous by faith. Yes, Romans 3 verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Sinners are born again by God's grace, and they die to everything. They decrease, and they are brought to that precious Savior, and he's revealed to them through the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. They hear of him, and they believe in him. And those that believe, God the Father looks upon them as he looks upon his Son. I am well pleased, righteous in him. What a gift of God. What wisdom of God. There's righteousness that we have nothing to attain to, congregation, but Jesus Christ as that mediator that represented his beloved people. He obtained righteousness for filthy, wretched sinners. But he's more. Oh, he's much more. But he's more also, as we read in this text. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made unto us sanctification. Every sinner needs to be justified and sanctified. Big words, children. Simply, they need their sins forgiven and they need their hearts cleaned. Because they have a mountain of sin, they need that forgiven, and their hearts are filthy. It needs to be cleaned, cleansed, because nothing unclean can enter into his presence. And he renews them. They're forgiven their sins, but he also cleanses them. He conforms them to his image. They will come to that place that they're exactly like his likeness, righteous, sanctified. Justification comes. The forgiveness of sins comes completely outside of the sinner. It comes from God the Father through Jesus Christ, and it's given, they're received. God the Father sees a sinner, a poor beggar, fleeing, trembling, hiding under the refuge of his Son, of him who's the righteousness, and they're justified. But sanctification, it's in them. Are they involved? Are they involved? Yes, they are. By God's grace, they're made alive and they're made active. By God's grace, they're made active. Absolutely. You read it in the Canons of Dort. And they are called to crucify the flesh, to put off the old man, to live in the new man, to produce good works. But can they do this himself? Can you do this yourself, sheep? Can you sanctify yourself? Do you feel the hopelessness, the powerlessness to clean one wicked, impure thought? It just keeps coming. Do you feel the power of those thoughts, the desires that come out of that foul fountain of your wretched heart, and you try to put it down, but it's there and it keeps bubbling up? Those affections that come out of you of all that wickedness, sinfulness, and you keep sinning and you keep sinning and you long to have a clear heart? Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He's made righteousness, but he's also made unto them sanctification. Yes, they are responsible, but he has the power to sanctify them. Church of God, look up. Look to that Savior. Look to that advocate at the right hand of the Father and beg him, sanctify me. Make me holy. Cleanse me. How does he do it? By his word. Yes, by his word, Jesus Christ, in that high priestly prayer, he said in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to be sanctified? Read the Bible. Lay your heart beside the Bible and pray, Lord, show me my sin. Show me thy will. Show me myself. Show me thyself. Show me that Savior and beg him to make you pure and clean within. How does he sanctify them? By his word and by his spirit. By his spirit that dwells in them. They need the word. They need the spirit. They need the lamb. They need grace. And he is their sanctification. He's that holy one. Sanctified in Christ. Church of God, seek sanctification in your good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Congregation, you must be justified. You need your sins forgiven. And you must be clean and holy and pure. Seek it only in that only mediator, Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, who is made unto us righteousness, sanctification, but more. Yes, even more. Because they need what? They need to be redeemed. They need to be redeemed. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is made unto us redemption. Redemption. That's such a beautiful word in the Bible. It describes salvation. What does redemption mean? It literally means to buy back. To buy back. Why do we need to be bought back? Bought back. Well, because by nature, we placed ourselves willingly under the power of Satan, the world, and sin, and we were absolutely unable, even more, unwilling to ever deliver ourselves. We have no power. Sometimes you see those pictures. It's horrible. Of those who are slaves. Chained up. No power to free themselves. And they sell them. But I read a story once. A man came. And he paid for the price of that slave. And he signed the paper and he said, "You may go free." What astonishment. But congregation, you and I have made our slaves to the greatest evil in the world. Sin, Satan, the world, and flesh. And there's only one who has the power to redeem such hopeless, hell-worthy sinners. Who is he? He's the wisdom of God. He's Jesus Christ, the only mediator. Isaiah 60, verse 16. "And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Do you need a Redeemer? Do you need to be delivered from sin, from your flesh, from the world, from everything? Jesus Christ is that mediator. In him is redemption. Well, for slaves to be freed, there had to be money paid. Exactly to the requirement. Or they wouldn't be able to go. They wouldn't be able to buy them. Well, for sinners to be redeemed, there also must be a price paid. Exactly to him who has been offended at his very justice. God the Father demands a ransom price. And the only way for his beloved people to ever be redeemed, that price must be paid. Or they will forever perish. Is there a price? Is there one who paid that price? Exactly that met the Father, the Holy, Infinite Father, and his justice, exactly that would open his heart, that he could look upon him, that he could embrace them as sons? Yes. The wisdom of God, Jesus Christ. Matthew 20, verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." For many. And you may beg, "Lord, may I be included in that number. May I be included. I have no rights. But Lord, I must be redeemed. I have no power. No power to redeem myself. Lord, redeem me. I heard tonight of that only mediator. I heard that thou art that one, that redeemer, that has the power to redeem wretched sinners." And Jesus Christ paid that price. And the Father was satisfied. And so he's seeking and he's saving. He's redeeming sinners. And he will to the end of the world until that last sheep is brought into the fold. And then it will be over. And then he will come, and he will redeem them forever in perfect holiness. And what are they redeemed with? Silver? Gold? No, insufficient. The blood of animals? Insufficient. Peter wrote about it. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The next Lord's Day, the Lord willing, you will see that wine poured out. It speaks of the blood of the Lamb. May you see it, Church of God, that through that blood that poured out, through his wounds on his head, on his hands, on his feet, on his side, that he gave willing to be poured out, that there is redemption. May you see it. May it be assured by the power of the Holy Spirit that through that blood of that precious Lamb, you are also redeemed. God the Father must have his justice satisfied. And he required that his Son came as very man to stand in the place of those who must be redeemed. He sent him, he gave him as the wisdom of God to be that righteous man for lawbreakers. And he was very man to have that power to be able to apply what he has merited. He's Lord Jesus Christ. In him, there is that full and complete salvation of wretched sinners. And we read in Titus 2 verse 14, who gave himself for us, that mediator. He was not only given, he also gave himself voluntarily, willingly, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. What wisdom of God! What a mediator! What salvation! What riches of God's grace! That Jesus Christ is made righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so when we put this all together, what is the result? What is the result? Complete salvation. Complete salvation. There's reconciliation for sinners who have nothing but need everything. He's exactly suitable, the wisdom of God, which foolish sinners need. O congregation, seek it all in him. Seek it in him. May the Lord bless these few words about this mediator and as of his identity to your poor, perishing soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. But may I ask you, do you have a large load of sin? And are you wondering, can such a sinner as me ever be redeemed? I know those struggles. I know those struggles personally. How could it ever be possible for one who went to a Christian school his whole life, who lived in a Christian home, who listened for so many years but said goodbye to it all, and who completely lived in the world? How could it ever be possible? By God's grace, by God's wisdom, through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is everything for a wretched sinner who has nothing. What wonders of God's grace. Let us sing now from Psalter 190, stanzas 1 and 2. Psalter 190, stanzas 1 and 2. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Shame let me never be. O save me in thy righteousness. Give ear and rescue me. Give ear and rescue me. Psalter 190, stanzas 1 and 2. only mediator, Jesus Christ. A few words about his identity. But how is he revealed? How do we know this is true? How can we know this only mediator? It's through the Word of God. God gave the gift of his Son, and God gave you and me a Bible. Children, young people, you have a Bible. Have you ever thought about that? A gift. Because in the Bible, through the Word of God, you may know this only mediator. It's the history of the Redeemer. It's his story, the story of salvation of God, of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through the whole Bible. When was he first revealed, that Savior, that mediator? Genesis 3:15. And through the Old Testament, you see a little more. More is explained about him. More is explained about him. Through the Psalms, the prophets, until he's finally born. And then we hear of the life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And in the Epistles, we hear of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. And then Revelation, we hear of that exalted Lamb of God. The mediator can be found in the Bible through the whole Word of God. And what a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ walking with those men to Emmaus. You can so to see speak him using the Bible and showing them from the Bible who he is. For example, here, look, in Moses, the books of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, it testifies of me. The gospel, the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot find it in yourself. You will not find it in a dream. You cannot find it in creation. And that is why it's only through the Word of God. And that is why we have an urgency to send out the Word of God through the world. Because it's only through the Bible that sinners may hear of the only name where they must be saved. There's no other book. No other book. The Book of Mormons, the Koran, no other book. It's only in the Bible that you can find that precious meter by the application of the Holy Spirit. Do you need a Savior? Read your Bible daily. Do you need a mediator? Read your Bible prayerfully. Do you need that only mediator? Read the Bible searchingly. He said, search the Scriptures. And that doesn't mean just quickly read a piece and close it. Done. Search. Search means with intent, with labor. A little example. If I told you in my backyard, I buried $1 million, and whoever would find it, it's theirs. I think we would all with urgency begin to dig. But tonight, there's something so infinitely much more profound, the mediator. And he's in the Bible. Search. Read the Bible every day. Young people, take time, 15 minutes, go on your knees, prayer, beg, adults, older ones, parents, singles, read the Word of God. Because it's through the Word, and only through the Word, read, heard, preached, that you can know that God reveals the mediator. And so I want to end with one question. The mediator is in the Bible. I want you to go home with a thought. Meditate upon what you heard this morning and tonight. But one question. Why did God give me a Bible? Why? There's thousands, millions in this world who do not have a Bible. Yes, I also met them in Bolivia. They do not have the Word of God. They have no knowledge, all that knowledge that you and I have. But why? Why did God, in his providence, no, it wasn't by accident, with a purpose, give you a Bible? Why? John 20, verse 31. But these are written. Why? Written, given to you, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why? And that believing you might have life through his name. What wonders of God's grace. What wisdom in Jesus Christ, who is made the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And he reveals it unto us through his word. Read your Bible. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard a few thoughts of what thou hast given, what thou hast made for thy church in thy Son. What infinite wisdom that thou hast made him to be righteousness, sanctification, and redemption for those whom thou hast seen completely lost, depraved, and that thou had a longing to bring to eternally around thy throne to rejoice in them and to them to rejoice in thee. And that they must be righteous, they must be sanctified, and they must be redeemed, and they had nothing that thou hast provided through thy Son, everything. Oh, may we go home. May it be that our hearts are touched with adoration unto thee for such riches, for such wisdom, for such grace. Lord, remember the whole congregation in this week. It's a preparatory week, a week of preparation. Oh, give that we may faithfully search and examine ourselves in thy presence prayerfully with thy word of God. Lord, bless it, give light, and draw all thy dear little lambs and sheep unto the table, that they may take refuge under thy wings to receive comfort. Help in all the responsibilities, all the activities that are planned. Bring us again in the middle of the week, also for a worship service. Lord, provide for thy name's sake, for the coming of thy kingdom, for thy people, for the salvation of sinners. Lord, we deserve nothing, but may we ask it upon him, upon thy dear Son. For Jesus' name, amen. We will close with singing from Psalter 262, the first two stanzas. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He hath wrought salvation, he hath made it known, and before the nations is his justice shown. Psalter 262, stanzas 1 and 2. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.